And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua and in chapter 6. Joshua and chapter 6. And perhaps we can just take a moment and God, here we are, your day, your time, your word, and the outworking of your will in the light of all that lies ahead. And our God, we thank you in all that has come to pass, so all must come into fruition in the future. And our God, we look to you to help us. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise of Joshua at the moment, and keeping in mind that historians have a real advantage. Historians study secular history, and they have a real advantage that others don't have. They learn from history, and history is repeated again and again and again. Different, but repeated. And we have the advantage. Not only is there secular history, but there's biblical history, God's word. And the outworking of that, we discover God's wonderful person and how he does what he does, when he does it, why he doesn't do anything, seemingly, so that we learn. We learn, because here we are in the Laodicean Revelation 3, looking for the Lord's return, and the tribulation's right down the end of the aisle. We're right down there. So here we are, and we have a special place in history. So, going back into history, we want to pull out of it that which helps us even now where we are. So therefore, in the book of Joshua, you remember, Joshua is looking at the Jericho. Jericho is the first city right near Gilgal, and that's the one they're going to go after first. And God is going to go and help them. They need to have experience, which they haven't had in that way, and they need to have an exercise of how to pay attention to God. They need to pay attention to the general. They need to follow the orders and how he does, what he does, because when you follow the orders, then you always end up a winner. No matter how it looks, you end up a winner. So, with that in mind, Joshua anyway did all these things a little bit. And remember in chapter 6, we have them going around the city. Every day, 6 days, they go one day, one time. The seventh day, they go seven times around the city. And as they circle the city, here's this Jericho, not a big place, but have double walls, two walls, space between them 4 or 5 feet, circling the city. And the door, as you notice in chapter 6, verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the doors were of iron and the bolts were copper bolts. So they're very special gates, very closed. That's why it says straitly closed. They were closed. They were surely shut. No one's going in and no one's going out. Now, and here comes Israel following instructions, as you know, marching around the city every day. And they had all the armed men, 601,000 plus 601,000 men marching. And then you have the priest up front, and then you have the seven priests. and they have the seven ram's horns, trumpets, and they're blowing the trumpets. And behind those priests blowing the trumpets is the Ark of the Covenant, and the priests, the Levites, are carrying it. So they're carrying that. And then there's the rear guard, the military that falls behind it. So there's the parade going around the city every day it does that. Now, and having said that, and as they go around the city, you recall, if I can, I'll even read it quickly so you see it, in chapter 6, verse 3, verse 2, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho. In the tense, I have given it with the result you already have it. Not you're going to get it. I've already given it to you. It's in your hand. It's in your hand. It isn't something you're going to get. It's something I've already put in your hand. You already have the victory. You haven't even gone anywhere, but you already have it. I've already done it. Now hang on to that. And verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men thereof, valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days, etc. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark, seven trumpets of the ram's horns. And the seventh day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpet. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the shout of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a loud, great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straightway before him. Now that's the instructions, and that's how it's going to go. So therefore, here they go, verse 7. And he said unto the people, pass on, compass the city. Let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horn, passed on before the Lord and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the reward, the rear guard, came after the ark, the priest going on, blowing with the trumpets. Now, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make, verse 10, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall thy word, any word, proceed out of your mouth. Don't talk to each other. Don't say anything. No one say anything. Walk as quietly as you can in order around the city, and there's silence. The only noise are the trumpets. That's all you hear. Now, when we share together, finish the verse, verse 11, 10, out of your mouth, no word shall proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. So, you're going to go and walk around, follow the instructions, and you're going to walk around the city, and you're going to go around that city 6 days. On the seventh day, you're going to go around it 7 times. Now, so you're going to be very quiet, and we share together. And if you could just think of the people in Jericho, looking down from the wall, way up here, 30, 40 feet high, up looking down, and they're looking down. And what do they see? Well, they see the parade. What weapons do they see? They see a sword. Now, what are you going to do with your sword in front of that big wall? What are you going to do? You can't wave your sword, and you can't throw your sword. And you may have a bow and arrow and all of that, but that's all you've got. So they're looking down, and every day, all they do is see them march around most quietly, hearing the trumpet and seeing the ark. That's what they did. Now, and you can just imagine, as the days go by, here's Israel looking up and wondering why we aren't being fired on from above and why we're doing what we're doing. But we're told to do it. And here's Jericho looking down and not shooting it. They could have thrown things at them and killed many of them, but they didn't. Everything was in a state of stop, stop. The parade went on. People on the wall looked down and just stayed like that every day, every day. And you can imagine now, if you lived in that day, and you can bet your boots, if we were there, and we know the Israelites crossed the Jordan, and we know there they are looking at Jericho, we would send our spies. We want to see what's going on to Jericho. And we represent up north and south and central of Palestine. So we want to see what's going on. And we're looking. And that's what we see. That's what we see. So there's no noise, no sounds, only the ram's horn, except in the parade. So, and as the parade goes around and around and around, and the world is thinking, and you would have to say, as we did, we looked at all of that, the foolishness of it. The foolishness. And we did that, looking at 1 Corinthians, etc., chapter 1, etc. God said, 1:18, the world sees the preaching of the cross as foolishness. But to the saved person, it's the power of God. It's foolishness. And God takes the wisdom, Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, saying we know everything, we understand everything, professing themselves to be wise, Romans 1, they became fools. And God takes the foolishness of what you think. God is stupid. God doesn't know what he's doing. Why does God do what he does? Why doesn't do God something? And we look, and God takes the foolishness that you think God is. And God takes things that are foolish, like Abraham and all of that. He waited till he was 100 years old. He could have done it 25 years earlier, but Abraham didn't believe God. And since Abraham didn't believe God, God waited 25 more years until he did believe God. When did he believe God? When it was impossible for he and Sarah to have Isaac. We can't have him. It's impossible. But then you believed, Abraham. Then you believed. When you're 100. When you were 75, you could have believed. Would have made sense, maybe. But not at 100. God waited. Now, having said that little bit, and as you put that together, one place that will help us, though, of all the foolishness of things, go over with me. I'm coming back here, if you can, over to Ephesians and chapter 3. And in Ephesians and chapter 3, picking up, if I may, and you will note, in all of our wonderful assignment as believers in the body of Christ, looking to honor him. Therefore, in his Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to go directly in the light of the context to verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by way of the church, the body of believers, the church, the manifold, many-faceted, many-sided wisdom of God. God's going to take and show principalities and powers. He's going to show them the wisdom of God. Now, hang on to that. You got that, and you know it. Turn over to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, the principalities and powers are going to see what? The wisdom of God. Therefore, chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What are you going to do, God? I'm going to show to the principalities and powers, the enemies of darkness, the enemies that produce dark, the enemies that live in darkness. I'm going to show them. I'm going to take little, back over to Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but chapter 5, verse 8, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. I'm going to take little old nobodies and bring a light, a little light in their life. And they're going to be a light in the darkness, a candle in the middle of deep darkness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness. Psalm 23, thou art there, God. Thou art with me. So now, having said that, God, here we are going, and you're going to go and show the wisdom of you, taking little old nobodies, and you aren't going to go, and they aren't going to go and fight, and they aren't going to go and do anything. They're just going to be a little light, to challenge you. And back over to go, and the power of that little light, Ephesians chapter 1, and the power of that little light. May I go directly? Oh, to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness? Ephesians 1:19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the body of believing believers, which is in his body, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God's going to take little nobodies, little lights, and he's going to fill them with himself. Above, where are you coming from, God? I'm seated in his perfect humanity at the right hand of God, as it were, and wonderfully there, and you're going to show your awesome power toward far above all principalities and powers. And the devil has power, but it can't even, wouldn't even discuss it. Compared to us, yeah. Compared to God, don't even bother. God's omnipotent. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, as he surrounds the city in his most wonderful, wonderful way, and so now two ways to go. Over, if I can, over in your Bible, over, well, we'll do that. Go over to, if you can, where to go? Psalm 32. We'll do that. That's for us. We learn something from history. Psalm 32, remember. And David has something to say to help us in Psalm 32. And you will note, if I can. Going through the psalm, blessed be the man, blessed the man who, whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile, etc., etc. Sliding down. And as you look, as the David goes through the recovery, he's recovering, and God is blessing his heart. And in the process, verse 6, for this everyone that is godly pray unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters thou shalt not come, they shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. So, and just hanging on to that, compare it, if you would. Israel's marching around Jericho, and God is marching around the believer. God is marching around the enemy, but in the same wonderful truth, God's taking care of his own people, and God, verse 7, thou shalt compass to surround me with songs of deliverance. Sliding over to verse 10, and many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass to surround him, surround him, surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So, what are we doing? God, you're surrounded, you're giving us wonderful grace in your most wonderful way. And what are we going to do? We're going to be very thankful. And we're going to say, thank you, God. And as it were, you really do it. And it's a wonderful reality. And we shout for joy. It's real. You're going to shout as you walk around the city 7 days, on the seventh day, seven times, and you're going to shout. And the wall is going to down. The wall is going to go. Literally, those two walls are going to drop down to dust. How so? The people of Israel are able to walk, not have to climb over rocks. They're going to eat wherever they are. They can walk straight in to the city. There's nothing hindering them. God just flattens the wall like dust. Remember that we shared it last time. Just think of the Twin Towers in that. It just went, collapsed. Wow. So God, you're going to do what you do. He surely is. No question about it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and God's going to do what he does the way he does it, and only he can do it. So therefore, looking, here's the ark going around, and here's God, the people are honoring God's word and doing what they're supposed to do. And they're going to be quiet, no noise, until Joshua 6:10. And then they're going to shout, and they're going to cry out with a loud voice. It's causative. They're going to cause themselves to shout. They're going to make a loud noise. They're going to put effort into it and substance into it. They're going to go and shout, and the ram's horn are going to blow. And it's a wonderful time. Now, just to see that a little bit, we're sort of back and forth here a little bit. So therefore, go over with me, please, to the book of Judges. And I just wanted you to think about, as you go through history, they shout for different reasons. And Joshua is going to shout because it's time for God to act. It's time for them to take the city. No more parade. The parade is over. So therefore, over to Judges, book of Judges, if I can, and in chapter 7. And Judges in chapter 7, and you would remember, keeping in mind, in Judges chapter 7, going, if I can, over to here's chapter 7, in verse 6. And Joshua rent his, excuse me, I'm Joshua, and you're in Judges. Thank you. And in Judges, chapter 7, picking up chapter 7 and in verse 6. And the number of them that lapped, now this is Gideon, he's going against a very large enemy, a lot of people, and God is going to do what he does in the way he does it. Now, so God's going to get the glory. So in the process, and God always surrounds the believer and protects them in a most wonderful way. So, chapter 7, picking up, and remember the men, it's time to get war. Here's all the army going against the enemy, the Philistines, etc. And in the process, they go, and they're getting water, and God eliminates, tells Joshua, only pick the men that take water from the with the hand, cup the water, and put it in. Some people go down and put your water, head in the water to get water. Don't do them. Just find those men that put their hand in. They're looking like this. I can understand that if I was in battle, if I was in war, and the enemy was there. I'm not going to lose my sight, so I'm going to keep my eyes open and get the water in. God takes Caleb, he's true. Joshua is true. And this fellow was true named Gideon. So therefore, here's Gideon, and Gideon goes and takes, and he ends up with verse 6, chapter 7 of Judges, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And God chose those 300 men. That's all he chose. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. And let all the other people go, every man to his place. And so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, all go home, and retained the 300 men, and the host of Midianites was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass that night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered into thy hand, if thou fear to go down and Purah, thy servant, with thy servant down to the host, and sneak up close and hear what they're saying. Verse 11, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down. In other words, listen, I want you to tell them what they're thinking. Because there's all 300 of you up above, and here they all are in the valley. So therefore, then he went down to Purah, his servant, with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers, for the multitude and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside, for multitude. Boy, they're like millions, as it seems, everywhere. But there's only 300 of us. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told the dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of the Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, then it fell. And it overturned it, and the tent lay along. And this fellow answered and said, this is nothing else than the sword, save the sword of Gideon and the son of Joash, the man of Israel, for into his hand God hath delivered Midian and all his host. And they were encouraged because in the camp of the Midianites, God had already told them, you guys are going to lose. And chapter 7, verse 16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in each man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. In other words, here's the little lamp, and you can't see the light because the pitcher's over it. And he said unto them, look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. And when I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. So Gideon and the hundred men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle of the watch in the night. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers. So all of a sudden you see lights. All of a sudden you see lights and the noise of the trumpets. And the three companies that blew the trumpets brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand to blow without. And they cried. What did they say? The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabbath. And they ran, and God gave the victory. What did they do? They blew the trumpets. They do, it seems silly. No, God just took and gave. God gave the victory. It didn't need anything special. God just did it. Now do it again, just so you see. God does what he does. He doesn't need a lot of anything. He just needs you to follow instructions and do. He's going to take the wisdom of the world, going to take the wisdom and show them, underline, the foolishness of God. And the foolishness of God is going to win every time. God always wins. So, if I can, over to chapter 15, as you would know. And here's a little different. Now, the world can do what it does, but the world doesn't have the same power. The world can shout and charge, and they have over the history of human history in the battles, I'm sure, they shout and run and attack, and they do what they do. They do. Now, so here is, as you know, chapter 15, if I can, verse 11. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Elim and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And here's Samson and his 3,000 Israelites. And they all want to say, Samson, you've got to stop it. More than that, they want you. So we're going to take you prisoner and give you to them. Verse 12. And they said unto him, we have come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they, don't you kill me. And they spake unto him, saying, no, we will not bind thee, we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, And the Spirit of the Lord shouted against him. Yeah. Wow. We got him. We got him. We got Samson. They're excited. They think that we won. And verse 15. Oh, mighty man. Verse 15. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put it forth in his and put forth his hand and took it. And he slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And in the process, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramath Lehi. Lehi. That's what he did. He did. They shouted. Everyone can shout. Shout. All kinds of different ways to shout. And you can shout. And, you know, without turning there, over in 1 Samuel, the Israelites had lost the ark. Well, we'll do that. Do that. Over if we can. 1 Samuel. And in chapter 4. And in 1 Samuel chapter 4, and the Philistines are there, the Israelites are not trusting God like they're supposed to, and therefore they call for the ark to be brought forth. And when the ark comes forth, here's the Israelites saying, bring the ark. And they aren't with it. They aren't where they should be. So therefore, what good's the ark? What good's anything? If God isn't in the bush anymore, what good is the bush? If God isn't in the Mount Sinai, where is it? It's just a mount, just a pile of rock up there. Yeah. God has to be in it. And Israel was not with it. So when they called for the ark, what did they do? Because they weren't paying attention. Are we in tune, in touch with God? Verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang out. We've won the battle. No, you've left God out of the picture, and it won't work. The Philistines are trying to shout, but you aren't going to go. You aren't going to go and defeat Samson. If that's what you think, God's in that. God's in taking just the jawbone of an ass and killing 1,000, which is, I can't even, I try to think of that battle. I try to think of it and how to put that together. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Now, having said that, so here we are, they shouted. And what happens is the Philistines, etc., took the ark. They captured the ark. And you remember, as it said, if again, chapter 4, when they took the ark, they lost the battle. Verse 21, and the priest's sons died. Verse 21. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God was taken. What's going around the city of Jericho? What's the main point? See the ark. God is there. God is there. God's going to do what he does. The world can try to say and do, but if God isn't in it, then take it easy for us in closing. Over if you would, please. Over if you would in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And here we are in history. And in 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, picking up, if I may, and knowing directly. Chapter 15 and in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hang on to that. God, you're going to blow a trumpet, you're going to say, you're going to announce in some wonderful way, it's time for us to disappear. It's time for us. God, you're going to take us up. I'm going to do it even more so. First Thessalonians, if I can. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in chapter 4, note, verse 16. No, I got to read verse 15. I know it's for this chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse 15. But this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which already have gone home, Abraham, Isaac, Peter, James, and John. For, verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Yeah. That's going to be pretty good. The Lord of heaven will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, forced up, fast, very fast, very forceful, caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. God said, listen, we just tried it a little bit. Get you to see. Shout, gone, gone. People shout when they're going to do something. God said, well, I want you to shout, and the wall's going to fall down. And by the way, I'm going to shout and take you up. And when I do, you're going. In the twinkling of an eye, the splitting of an atom, I'm going to take you up. In a moment, I'm going to shout, and you'll hear the trumpet. And before you can even consider anything, you'll be gone. God said that. The world tries to shout about things. But when God does, that's pretty awesome, God. So what are we doing? We're trying to get a little bit to understand. Be quiet. Learn to be quiet until it's the time. Until it's my time, said God. And when my time comes, shout. It's my time to fix something, to do something, then shout. In the meanwhile, one step at a time, inch by inch, pain by pain, pill by pill, you go down the corridor of the time. God said, but wait. 6 days, 60 years, you wait, and you wait till I say come. And that's what we're doing. And shout. And God's going to do it. God, I don't know how to shout. God said, but I do. I know how to shout. I have archangels that make the thunder look like nothing. Wow. So, got the idea? It's a wonderful victory they have. And all they had to do is follow instructions. And that's all they had to do to ever win. It's just follow instructions. Just do what I told you. And you'll keep winning. And when Israel followed instructions, they never lost a battle in all of their history. When they follow instructions. Now, our Father and God, we thank you for your word. A little bit that we might understand. God, as we just try to understand the world does what it does, and we do what we do, and we're outworking history in a most wonderful way. So God, here we are, waiting. We're waiting, God, walking up and down the street, going to work, home, school, pills and everything, eating and drinking, doing what we do, God, in quietness, waiting till it's your turn. So here we are. We're walking up and down, walk by faith and not by sight. And here we go. Even so, come. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.